be free to you, the listener. All we ask is that you please share and give us 5-star reviews on any of your podcast aggregate of choice or our Twitch channel, whatever is required. And of course, please show our sponsors some love. They're the ones that keep us going. They have believed in us in a long time, just like you have. So, with all of that out of the way, here we go. We're going to kick off an all-new issue of Geek in the City Radio.
Hello.
Recording in progress.
Hello and welcome to welcome to issue 726 of Geek in the City Radio. I am your barely hanging on host, Elrond Duran.
I am your struggling with all things technical, Beanarita.
And I am Commander Cable Hashitani.
What's shaking, y'all?
Everyone's having a day.
It's a day, man. And about in 10 minutes, we're going to invite Jen McPoland
and
some other folks from She Brews.
We've got some guests.
We got guests coming, eh? Eh? I don't know why.
Are we bopping Doug McKenzie now?
I wish, man. That's a charmed life, though, you know?
Is it?
Yeah.
Bopping Doug McKenzie? They're just going through life. All they want is fucking donuts and beer and back bacon. Carton
don't
of smokes.
Don't they have to go on an epic journey?
Well, that's fine. An epic journey. They go down the street to a brewery. You're confusing them with Jay and Silent Bob, who had to cross the country to stop a movie being made about them.
I mean, I'm not confusing them, but I don't know. I feel like the premise of that film is that bad things have happened and they have to deal with it.
Well, I mean, really, the only bad thing that happens is that they drop their dad's last beer. And Yosemite Sam is like, "You hosers, where's the money I gave you?" And they're like, "We gave the money away. There's greeting, eh? He's going to kill us." And then they try to steal Hosehead's beer, but it's filled with dog food because they poured it in the dog food bowl. And they're like, "Give it to him." "No, you give it to him. I'm going to let go. So
who's Hosehead?
Hosehead's their dog that's got the skunk stripe on the back. Oh. Wait. Have you never seen Strange Brew?
No.
Oh, imagine Hamlet, but with Rick Moranis and Dave Thomas. And Max von Sydow.
Imagine Hamlet?
No, it is.
It is Hamlet.
It actually is. Okay. It's a retelling of Shakespeare's classic.
But from like the point of view of Rosencrantz and Guildenstern. But it's Jay and Silent.
No,
Jay
that.
Silent Bob.
It's Bob and Doug
McKenzie. It's Bob and Doug McKenzie.
That's similar to how barbed wire is Casablanca.
Oh God, Norm.
What's going
on? Are we engaging with the internet already? Do we need to? Do we have to?
Norm must have finished preparing dinner.
Go for
early,
it, Norm.
And they are ready to share stuff. Let me share my little skull.
You just don't need to share the dude riding the worm anymore. I've seen that so many times.
I don't.
Oh, oh yeah, I got that one too.
Oh, he bought the
the Dune fuck bucket.
Yeah. Yeah. What's the worm called?
Shai Hulud.
That's right. So he bought the Shai Husi.
God damn it! Get out! Get the out!
Wait. What?
Oh no! Is this serious?
No, I'm trying to remember. I thought Shai Hulud, is that what they call the largest of all worms? They know.
I think they use it for all the worms. So that's the name of it. They don't. I know there's more than one, but I don't think they really refer to them individually. It's just the Shai Hulud.
Yeah,
Shai Hulud is one worm.
Is it?
Yes, it is their god of all. It is the largest of and oldest of all the sandworms.
Okay. I believe you because I've only read through them once semi-recently and my brain is bad, so.
I read through them in middle school. And I watched the movie a lot because I liked it. Shai Hulud is the
big boy.
Yes.
Okay. I just always remember
it as Stilgar's line of Usul, we have worm sign the likes of which God has never seen.
Yeah.
I always love that line.
So they are all... So they're... Shai Hulud is the god, the biggest of the sandworms, but sometimes they will colloquially refer to all sandworms as Shai Hulud.
Shai Hulud.
Cool. So it's...
All right.
One Everybody's god in me. Right.
So everyone's correct. Whee! That's a first.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was...
The thing, my favorite thing now is all the videos of women dressing as... I always want to say the Bene Gesserit. Well, no, that's what they're called, right?
Yeah, the Bene Gesserit.
What is the Romulan warrior nuns? What are they called? That are clearly the Bene Gesserits.
God damn it.
Klingon?
It's because... No, Romulan. It also because... I can't remember right Absolute now because candor. We're talking about Dune, so I have the word Kwisatz Haderach in my brain.
But that's also which is not right.
Close
very
to
Klingon-y
the
Klingon-y sound, but
it's not Klingon; it's Romulan.
Yeah.
The Kaj
assassin nuns.
It's something Malat.
Yes.
Yeah.
The
Kor Malat.
Kwat Malat.
Kwat Malat.
Kwat Malat.
Kwat
Malat.
Kwat Malat. Kwat Malat. Not to be confused with the Bene Gesserit,
or the Kwisatz Haderach.
Or the Kwisatz Haderach.
Anyway, I'm seeing a lot of women dressing up as the Bene Gesserit. They're like after seeing Dune 2, and they're dressing up, and they're just coming into like their living rooms, like their partners, and being like. Bring me queso in chips. Yeah. You know, they're like, I require a pizza. It's kind of, I don't know, it cracks me up.
Okay.
That's mm-hmm. great. I wish I was on that part of the internet. But
I am actively seeking out the fun part of the internet right now because the rest, it stresses me out too much. And I have enough stress in my life right now.
I've said it before, and I'll say it again. All my friends have broken my algorithms with all the random ass, bizarro shit that they send me.
I actually don't send you anything anymore because I felt bad when you always complain of like, I have all, I'm like, I'm not going to send you
stuff.
Here's
the thing is you actually sent me relatable content.
That's right.
No, I'm looking at you, Norm. Sending me like the most random weird stuff, and I'm like, I don't know what I just experienced.
We should have Norm and Greg send each other stuff and see who flinches first. Who taps out first.
What and do you we say, love Norm, both are you
of
you in?
We love both of you guys. It's just, but you know.
I mean, I'm not gonna. I mean, every now and then there's an absolute banger in there.
Oh, yeah. But I will say, if they don't grab me in the first 20 seconds, I'm out.
Cool. I do that too, where I'm like, where's this going? Running out of time.
Our brains. That was...
I know.
It's fine.
I'm also self-conscious because I'm sweaty. Not that you can smell from over there, probably, but...
No, because we have a bag of uneaten Taco Bell between the two of us, so...
Overpowers any stench.
That's right.
I don't know how we
got a sack of Liv Moss protecting us from bodily odors. Like
not for you, Dingus.
From Liv Moss?
Yeah, that was one of. Do they still use Liv Moss?
I don't think they use it anymore, but it is a good shorthand for Taco Bell culture.
Yeah.
Oh right, Liv. There you go. Sorry. Okay.
Hey, fuck off.
I heard the tones, but they spelled out differently in my head. Mm. I thought you were talking about a person, first name Liv, last name Moss, M-O-S-S.
Comic book character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or, well, no, I'm going to say a He-Man action figure. But that's a little, that's not actually not on the nose enough to be a He-Man action figure.
Not quite.
No. That, yeah. I got to love when they were just naming He-Man action figures. They're like, what's his name? Fisto. That is his name.
Okay. Fisto it is.
Sure. Guess what he does.
Going back to Dune for a second, Norm says, damn, Denis Villeneuve sure knows how to make a self-aware Lawrence of Arabia with a bitchin' soundtrack. I have my qualms about the soundtrack, but is
You Lawrence, don't like the Dune score?
I could do with a lot less, like... I mean, I guess it's sort of...
I don't even know what that was. I haven't
it's like
seen
vaguely
Dune.
Arabic ululations, just like.
Oh right.
What's the word? What's the word for just making vocal sounds?
Singing,
undulation.
But it's not words.
Uvulate? I don't know.
Never mind.
We're gonna go with I don't know.
Yeah, I could do with less of that, which is ironic because the whole Dune concept is very. It draws so hugely from Middle Eastern stuff.
A lot of it does, yeah.
Is Lawrence of Arabia also about a white savior?
So, Yes, but he was a real person.
It's not not about a white sandwich.
It's not not. So he, so, yeah, Lawrence of Arabia is a very interesting figure historically. Yes, he, on paper, is a white savior. Says, like, when he got to the Middle East, and this is pre and during World War One, he actually taught the tribe, because that it's so complicated. So this is when Turkey was basically ravaging the Middle East. Like, Turkey controlled all the oil, like, all of it. Everyone forgets that, like, Turkey was a hell of an empire back in the day. He went there to help the locals, like, the Bedouins and all the... Because they were still kind of, like, loose tribes. They weren't, like, how we think of them now. I mean, yes, there were countries. I'm not trying to be all, like, don't be that way. But, like... He basically taught them essentially guerrilla warfare so that people on horsebacks with grenades could take out tanks and like armored trains that the Turkish government. And then World War One broke out. And this is the like bad Cliff Notes version. He legit helped them. So he's a really controversial figure because that in the end, Britain betrayed all of them. Yeah, when World War One was over, because he was like, you will have control of your own lands, your destiny. This is the right of all people.
I'm sorry.
World War One ended, Britain's like, no, no, we're keeping it all.
I'm sorry. White people screwing over brown people?
But there's an argument. There's a bit. Historians have gone back and forth whether or not Lawrence, who became Lawrence of Arabia, knew that was going to happen.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Renowned for his role in the Arab Revolt and the Sinai and Palestine campaign against the Ottoman Empire.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. I did know that he was a real dude, but I've never known anything about him or any of the movies based on him.
The movie's very pretty. I actually didn't learn more about him.
There's beyond just the movie. The one movie, right?
Yeah.
I thought I would think so.
I don't remember.
I just tried looking it up, and there's like film series. I don't know. I got the quickest of impressions that there's more than one movie based on this person.
There probably is, but the one anyone ever talks about is the one with
Peter O'Toole.
Peter O'Toole. Mm. Yeah. I researched more, and then we'll invite our guests on. I remember researching more about Lawrence of Arabia from all things playing Battlefield 1, which is the first person shooter that takes place during World War One. The thing I appreciate about that game is that they don't sugarcoat the history. So the tutorial on that game is you're playing the Harlem Hellfighters. It was America's first black battalion that they sent to fight in the trenches of France. The tutorial actually says, like, this will teach you how to play the game. You are not expected to survive your tutorial because the Harlem Hell Riders, most of them were slaughtered in the trenches. But they were still very good at it. So good that I think it wasn't until the 1930s that the shotgun got taken off the list of weapons that were not allowed to be used in combat. The Americans showed up with shotguns and just cleared out trenches. Anyway, there's an entire, the game breaks it up into segments. There's like Gallipoli. There's the Italian Alps, which are the people who eventually gave rise to Mussolini, because after the war was over, they didn't want to keep killing. They didn't want to stop killing. But there's a whole thing on Lawrence of Arabia where he teaches, you play this woman he has taught to do this type of warfare. Mm-hmm. And it's a really fun arc of that game, but it really sucks because at the very end, you get this beautiful kind of Middle Eastern style music because your character is like standing with her people and they're happy, they're free. Then it fades to black and you're hearing that music and just in like stark writing. It was like in the end, her people were betrayed by the very powers that liberated her. We are still dealing with the ramifications of Britain's betrayal. And I'm like,
yep.
Oh, oh shit. Yeah. Anyway, it's a cool game. It's the only Battlefield game that I ever liked. I was moderately good at it. And I think it's because by default, the weapons World War One were not super fast. So I can't turn a guard and hit, and sniping wasn't that good yet. So you can kind of chug along. There you go. Cool. We have guests coming on.
We do.
Now that we're no longer talking about Shai Hulud and the...
Yeah, hold on. I have something for this.
Oh, all right, all right, all right.
I've decided I'm going to do this now instead of when we let them on because it's less awkward.
Do it.
So today we're going to be joined by Jen McPoland, who is a director of Straightaway Cocktails, a beer steward at the Oregon Beer Awards, one half of the McPolander's home tap room, and an organizer at She Brew. Now in its ninth year, She Brew is a celebration of women in the craft beer, cider, and mead world. This year's festival will be boasting more than 40 female professional brewers from around the Pacific Northwest and 10 home brewers. She Brew is a 100% nonprofit. All proceeds go to the Human Rights Campaign to fight for equality.
And here we are. We are going to welcome Jen in just a moment. Cha, cha, cha. Let's see. Do any day now. Well,
there's no avoiding the awkward.
That's right.
Hello.
Oh, what? That. Oh, that is. Hello, Shannon. Hello, Jen. Everyone's coming in.
Hello.
Hello.
Long time no see, you guys.
Yeah. I know.
It's been a bit.
Let's see.
Okay.
Hey, hey.
I can hear you.
Hello, Shannon. Good to see you as well.
Good to be here.
Yeah. I think last time we had both of you on, it was in studio. And we're just not in that studio anymore.
This is probably much easier and cheaper.
Yes. Well, it's cheaper for two of us. Someone's paying a mortgage on the studio.
I mean, I'd be paying the mortgage even if we weren't recording from here, so.
This is true.
That's true.
The only thing I don't get to do is write it off.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Sorry.
That's okay, though. I don't want to own this business, so. Or own any business.
There you go. Smart. How are both of you doing? It's been a while.
Good. Busy.
Never mind. Well, it's too late now. So you have the look of someone who's about to put on a major festival because I have had that look many times. I'm like, I know that look. That's the, I'm so happy to be doing this, but can it be over now?
5 days.
Counting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's exciting. I'm really, really looking forward to it, but it's this last crunch, like, we had a meeting last night and all of a sudden I was like, it is, we've been going at it for 3 hours. We should probably stop.
Oof. Mm-hmm.
One of these days we'll remember to like record these conversations like 3 weeks in advance and then we'll just drop it in now-ish.
That's true. Mm.
So you reap all the benefits without having to take up another hour of this last week of time.
Yeah.
Oh, this is way more pleasant than doing the stuff I was doing before now. So I would much rather be chatting with you guys about She Brew than working on the festival.
Okay, good, because you are stuck here with us now, so we might as well make the most of it.
Careful, I think Shannon's your boss.
No, that is definitely not the case. The other way around, actually.
Oh. You do what you want.
What exactly is your title at She Brew?
You mean Shannon?
Which one?
Both of you. Shannon?
Both of you. Yeah, give us the whole rundown.
Shannon, well, you
I would be festival coordinator or co-coordinator, right, Jen? Is that what we're calling ourselves? In public?
Yeah, festival organizer. Public. I don't know. I'm feral kitten wrangler.
Well, that sounds fun and safe.
The brewers are delightful and I love every last one of them, but they're so busy and tracking down 65 of them is just for all kinds of random details is really it's a party.
Yeah, I can imagine. I work with one and she is hard to pin down sometimes. So 65?
That's a lot.
This year. Yeah, it's been 65 this year. But Shannon has to do all the logistics. I mean, I'm wrangling humans, but she has to do all the festival logistics. And
Yeah. She just told you that she has the hardest job. Humans, you know, humans.
I mean, if I had to choose, I would go for logistics
yes,
over people.
Would. Yeah.
Every time.
Jen is also the founder of SheBrew, which I think is a good point.
Yeah, so let's kind of go back to the beginning, and because
it's been a while.
It's been a while. So yeah, Jen, you want to kind of go? What inspired you to kick off SheBrew?
It wasn't me. I mean, I was one of the founders. I helped start it, but it was actually Stephanie Wells, and she was in HRC at the time. And she's since moved to Denver with her lovely wife, Jamie. But she wanted to create a new fundraiser. And her wife, Jamie, was a member of the brew crew and a home brewer. So she had this fun idea of let's do a fundraiser where we highlight female home brewers. And she's the one that named it. The original logo was terrible. It was just two pieces of clip art. So it was like the outline of the state of Oregon. And like it looked like a woman's room figure.
Okay.
We didn't have a graphic designer back then. And then it was a handful of local pro breweries that had donated beer to the festival. Mm-hmm. And Sonia Marie Lycom and Lisa Allen from Heater Allen / Gold.beer were the only two women that we had from the beginning. And then now we have over 50 pros. But it was very, very small. If you guys have been to the Q Center, that was where the very first festival was.
Yep. Yes.
And there was about 50 people. And Shannon, how many people did we have last year?
1,300.
Oof.
Damn.
And is this your second year at the Red Building, at the Red?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yes.
When we toured the Red, we really thought that it would hold us indefinitely.
And you guys are
and then
maxing
last
it out.
Year it was just like wall to wall.
Wow. Are you expanding more within the Red, like outside stuff, or is it still within the building proper?
Yeah, it's just if it was a nice day, we'd have more space outside.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But it's supposed to rain this Sunday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, you guys know of larger venues where we're open to suggestions.
I mean, we do, but they tend to charge an arm and a leg, and I'm pretty sure you know who we're talking about.
Hmm. Yeah, my convention center is like the first thing that comes to mind, but that's big bucks.
Yeah.
And they suck. As an org.
They can be difficult to work
with. I don't work for the city. I can say whatever I want.
I don't work for the city either, but I do work closely with the convention.
Well, that's why you're not saying anything.
Yeah. And I wish like the Expo Center wasn't so far out because it is big, but there's also nothing out there.
Mm. Yeah.
Like at all. So yeah, I don't know. I got nothing. So I mean,
I didn't think about the Expo Center, but I appreciate that.
I mean, I like the spot. There's just like, there's nothing. Once you get there, you're kind of stuck.
Yeah.
There's no real hotels. There's not really any restaurants out there.
There's nothing wrong with the Expo Center as a location. It is the lack of infrastructure.
Yeah. Yeah, that's its biggest like hindrance to having stuff at the Expo Center.
Yep,
because it's far more affordable than the convention center. So I'm trying to think here, like, what would you both? Because this show seems to have grown at like an exponential rate, like every year. Like it's not just like yeah, we've had decent growth. Like SheBrew seems to get far bigger every single year. Like, what do you attribute to that? When other traditional beer When, like, as a rule, beer festivals are not doing great, what do you attribute to SheBrew kind of continually growing?
Shannon?
Gosh. Well, I mean, honestly, having an incredible crew has been a big part of it. Jen has so, what's the right word, incorporated into it, just deep into the beer community. And I think that, you know, those relationships really have grown stronger and stronger and stronger over the years. And I think that's a big part of the reason that we're able to grow as large as we are. You know, after the first couple of years, we did bring on a graphic designer and got a website built and, you know, really started bolstering our social media presence. Mm-hmm. And trying to get, especially Jen has done so much work with getting out there into the press and making sure that we're doing a press release and getting, you know, the word out. So I think that's a big part of the reason why.
Yeah. I think it also has to do with the fact that we're not your typical beer fest. Mm-hmm. It's not just where you just go and drink a bunch of beers and get drunk and go home. It's there's so much more to it. We're actually we're celebrating these people, and like it's like you go in and you look at the beer sign and it doesn't say, you know, Breakside IPA. It says, you know, it says Jenna Ducharme, Portland, Oregon, Breakside, and mm-hmm. then what she brewed. And then, you know, we've got a slideshow running the whole time with a picture of every brewer and the five random words they picked to describe themselves or whatever. but it's so much more than just beer. And then on top of it, we have a handful of just really cool women makers from the community, from like Sweet Joyous Bakery and Mermaid. And it's, and then the food carts are also like women owned. And it's just, it's like, A, people love a theme.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. And especially if the theme isn't just like a different kind of beer.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that helps a lot.
Yeah. I mean, I think about, it's not, I mean, it's kind of, because they're specialized too, but like, I think about my initial draw to like dark arts. I love stouts, but like that, maybe the first year it was like, oh, I want to go to a place that only is serving stouts at a festival. But then it became mm-hmm. like, oh no, because it's also this like dark horror occult theme. Yes. Sweet. Mm-hmm. You know? And I do appreciate that, like, SheBrew highlights the brewers first mm-hmm. and kind of everything else second.
And they're still bringing incredible beers and ciders.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Like, if you, I don't know if you guys have gone on the website, but on the brewer page, if you scroll past the brewers, it gives you the whole list of all the beers and ciders. And it is wild how great this stuff is. Yeah.
And for the listeners, that website is shebrew.beer. Nice and easy.
Oh.
Yep.
I need to check out the website again just to see all the stuff that's happening.
One of the things that I've noticed is that, you know, as culture changes, so too does the way that SheBrew brings people in. And, you know, we were talking about the logo earlier. It's not just the, you know, the outline of Oregon and the B for brew, but you've also incorporated some colors in there that give a very, you know, LGBTQIA+ vibe that I'm sure is intentional and not an accident. And yeah, you guys are the only beer festival that I've ever seen where it's highlighting the brewer as an individual, not just the brewery as a company.
Mm-hmm. It also changes the way the brewers and the breweries interact with the festival. So you see them posting all the time of mm-hmm. like what they're doing and their brew days, and it's in their stories and it's in their posts, and then we're we sharing it. That's another thing that you don't typically see with your typical beer festival.
The other thing that I was thinking about is that I know that a lot of breweries maybe don't have women on the brewing floor, but they want to participate, and so they'll bring in women from other departments in the company so that they can say, yeah, we have a woman brewed beer that we'd like to enter into this festival. Next thing you know, they are now on the payroll as brewers. So it's not just about celebrating the beers and the brewers and the women. It also is essentially creating job opportunities.
Absolutely.
And that's something that you don't see or hear about from other festivals.
Mm-hmm. No, that's true. And I think Jess Hardy, we were at TPK this morning doing a thing with KPTV, and she spoke to that a lot about like seeing other women in beer creates more women that look at that and go, oh, I could do that. Mm-hmm. So that also creates a different path to that position, which we've seen a lot of that happen where it's like, oh, this person's in QA this year mm-hmm. and they got to learn how to make a beer and they made a beer for SheBrew. And then the following year they're on the brew deck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I have just, you know, I've been, you know, tangentially connected to the brew industry for about like a decade now. And it's been really cool to see, like, I feel, I mean, correct me if I'm reading this incorrectly, which I totally could be, but it feels like for all like the bro-y nature that is still associated with craft beer, I feel like, and maybe again, living in Portland, we're in a very specific bubble, but I feel like the industry is at least trying to reach out better. Like I see less and less of beers named after, you know, kind of misogynistic names. And I'm seeing less and less like cheesecake labels. Like, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with like a good, you know, piece of cheesecake art. Everyone loves it or whatever. But like, I don't know that one brewery. I think they still make Blonde Bombshell, but I don't think they have like the voluptuous woman riding a bomb on their label anymore. It's just Blonde Bombshell, whatever the art is now. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember speaking to someone once and, you know, they got, they were at, you know, brewing events and the breweries were like, how do we get more women to drink our product or come into our place? And they were like, I don't know, maybe don't show like half naked art of women on all your cans and maybe make it feel more comfortable when they come in. That's an easy step to take. Is it getting better or is it just because we live in Portland and we're in this kind of bubble?
I think it's getting better in Portland.
Yeah, it absolutely is. I mean, that was the most interesting piece of feedback I received over my time with Shebrew, is that it's the least dude bro-y fest I've ever been to, is what people are saying. And I'm like, I've never heard that adjective before, but that's awesome. That's great. It's like, you know, and it's not so much about the role reversal, although you see that, you know, Jen is always mentioning, like, you have the guy with the baby and the baby Bjorn on his chest instead of, you know, the partner or the wife or whoever it might be. And so that's really fantastic. And Denise, you spoke to something too about how, you know, this brings women up in the community, and that's why it's so exciting for us, because the whole purpose of this event, I think, from its inception, was to uplift marginalized communities. And we see those marginalized communities in two different avenues in this event, with, you know, women in the beer industry, and then, you know, the LGBTQ community throughout the country. And this event actually does a lot to support both of those communities. And so it's really exciting for that reason.
Yeah, most beer festivals are about selling beer, and they are likely started by, well, probably venture capitalists and then some breweries. But Shebrew, you know, is founded by home brewers and people in different home brewing clubs and communities. So it's very, I think grassroots is the right word, because it's not.
Well, initially it was pretty damn grassroots. It was like, let's bring 10 home brewers together
And is that where
people drink beer and make money for HRC?
Yeah.
Well, that's part of it too, right? Is that you didn't do it to make money just for the sake of making money. It was always intended as a fundraising event.
And it still is. 100% of proceeds go to HRC. And you have a lot of festivals that will have like they'll tout themselves as a nonprofit, or they're donating to charity or whatnot. But it's like a percentage of their money goes to nonprofit. And, you know, I've had many people, when I say, well, we don't get paid for doing this, this is a labor of love for every one of the organizers, people will be like, what? And I'm like, no, that's the whole point of this. Mm-hmm. Like, this is all nonprofit. This is all to support equality. You know, I'm not in it for the money. Yeah.
You don't get into brewing, much like comics, for the money.
Right?
Yeah.
But that is a very hard concept to get across to people a lot.
Yes. Again, like a few years ago, this is Rev Nat once asked me that if I wasn't writing comics, what would I do? And I was like, I don't know. I really like brewing. And he's like, dude, do you just not like making money? Is like that? Is that your goal in life? And I was like, how dare you?
And remind me, what is the mission statement of the HRC?
Well, I don't have it memorized, but essentially the Human Rights Campaign is the nation's largest civil rights organization fighting for LGBTQ equality.
And again, that was also founded here in Portland.
No, I don't believe so. I believe it was founded in Washington, D.C.
Oh, okay.
You know what? Have you been doing some research? Do I need to? It was definitely founded by a Portland local individual along with another person back about 40 years ago. So So yes, it does have roots in Portland, to be okay. sure.
I thought I remembered hearing or reading about that somewhere, so.
I'm sure that, like, if people aren't familiar with Human Rights Campaign and HRC, like, if you've seen the purple box with the yellow equal sign mm-hmm. in it, you'll go, oh, that's what that is.
Yeah, yes, yeah. Now that you say that, yes.
Which is funny, for years, I had no idea what I just saw it on the back of cars.
Yep.
Because mm-hmm. I was like, oh, that's a neat sticker. And I think it was actually my first Shebrew I went to when it was on the poster. And I think it just said Human Rights Campaign. I was like, is that what that means? I just thought, like, oh, equal sign. Neat. Look, I'm a simple person. I don't always register shit. Did this spring out of initially, and correct me again, I don't know if they're local or not, but did this spring out of the Pink Boot Society? Because, again, that's the first time I heard about it was in Portland also, was that group.
You know, it's funny. Sometimes people ask us about Pink Boots because it's also a female organization that revolves around fermentation. But while we support each other, we have absolutely no affiliation whatsoever with Pink Boots.
Oh, okay.
They're two completely separate entities, which I actually think is pretty fucking cool because they are completely separate. They don't need to be combined because individually they're both very successful and they both do really cool things. And the people involved in them cross over and enjoy both of them, but they don't have to be together. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
All right. Enough about philanthropy. Let's talk about beer.
Did you see the question?
I do see the question. And okay. We can start with that one. Although this one's more general. I wanted to start by saying, like, let's talk about the beers that we're going to be seeing on Saturday.
Let's do that.
Okay. Some big highlights that we've never had before. That's not true. We had an NA beer once. But we have Roaming Nobles, which is a new NA brewery. Ooh. And they get contract brewed at Steeplejack. So they will be there with their NA wheat beer. And then Jen Mercer, that used to be at Hopworks and is now at Fire on the Mountain, is bringing a hop water, which is fun. And then we have a couple of gluten-free beers. We lost Moon Shrimp, which was really sad. They went out of business. But one of the brewer from Moon Shrimp, Lindsay, brewed a sour Cthulhu beer with Deja of Mutantis, which is our first brewery owner that is queer and trans.
Mm-hmm.
That's their right logo here. Was really cool.
At Mutantis, are they
Mutantis? Yep. Mm-hmm. I cannot wait to try it. It's a sour lemon gluten-free beer, and it sounds freaking fascinating and delicious.
They're still doing okay, right? Am I confusing them with somebody else that is going away?
Mutantis?
Yeah.
No, it was Moon Shrimp.
Okay, that was it. Okay, thank you.
So Lindsay McIntosh Tall of Moon Shrimp is doing a collaboration with Deja from Mutantis. But it's another M gluten-free beer.
Yeah.
Brewery.
Okay. That's thank you.
I see. Yes. Friends of the show, TPK Brewing is going to be there.
Yes. Yeah. We love TPK. We literally, yeah, we had her, we were on the old, on the video with her this morning doing hawking the fest, first thing this morning. Excellent. She was making a lager. We love her.
I would be there more often if I could afford it. And I don't mean their beer is expensive. I mean, I would just be there every, if both my bank and my liver thought it was a good idea, I would be there more often.
Right. Right. Between that and the Envita menu. I'm sure. Yes. Like you could just like go, go
that
nuts.
That place is so great.
Yeah.
I was part of the Kickstarter for that. So I got to go to one of their brewer dinners and it was so great.
I'm such a nerd. My Kickstarter side was just the gaming side. I probably should have done the beer side too, but I was like, I want to get in on the campaign book.
I mean, that's cool, but you missed out on a really great brewer's dinner.
I'm sure. I'll find my way to weasel into something.
Yeah, so we've got like 6 or 7 ciders. We've got a couple gluten-frees. We've got some NA options. And then we've just got all kinds of crazy stuff. Like, you know, we've got everything from a goza to a smoked porter to... actually, Jess's beer I'm really excited about. She's doing that. She used 200 pounds of guava in a wheat beer.
Wow.
Ooh, that's a...
Yeah, And you've been there, so you've seen how small her tanks are. So yeah. 200 pounds of guava went into one of those tanks.
I'm not crazy about guava, but I would try it for sure.
And also, okay, someone who's done a ton of homebrewing, I can't imagine the trub cleanup on that much guava. That the cleanup on that beer had to have taken all day. That I'm sure it's delicious. It sounds like a nightmare. It's like years ago I brewed my first pumpkin beer because I love them. If I do, I'll just buy extracts.
Do it. Or just use pumpkin pie spice.
Yeah.
But
I want the pumpkin gourd flavor.
You want pumpkin right, flavor, well, not then, pie spices.
Luck. Oh, I roasted my own pie pumpkins along with some ube sweet potatoes.
Did you put it in the mash?
Yes, because I'm not very smart.
No, that's where I would have put it.
I put it in the mash, and then I also put it in the secondary, and it was a 7-gallon batch, but I think after all of it, I think I bottled 3.5 gallons.
That sounds right.
Yeah, no, and I was like, I'm never doing it. It was delicious. I'm never doing it again.
Yeah, that's a tricky thing to do. I can't say I'm a huge pumpkin beer fan, so I haven't actually tried it. But I have done a few things where I was like, what have I done?
I did see a beer on here that I hopefully, you know, Bean will be able to go or whatever. But I saw one on here that you might feel a connection to.
What is it?
There is a beer called the London Fog, and it is a cream ale with Lord Bergamot. Yes. I was like, this sounds a lot like a mead somebody made.
Yes, mm-hmm. I entered the mead competition last summer with an Earl Grey based mead. I was quite proud of it. You scored first mead ever. I got decent points.
You scored 28 out of 50 for your first ever. Like,
I personally
very very respectable.
Yeah. Yes. I was shocked, honestly, to get.
I know
such
people have been doing it for years and entering that they're still happy with that.
And I even before I brought my entry and, you know, and was tasting it, or well, when I was first tasting it, but it wasn't quite done, it wasn't aged yet. I was like, I already know what I would do different. So
careful, that's how it starts.
I know, and I got a whole basement now and everything.
And I have no place to put equipment.
Trouble now.
I know. Well, that's what I need is one more hobby.
I'll help you.
But that one beer, actually, the London Fog, that is the one, and this is actually a first for She Brew. They're putting it on nitro. They're actually bringing a nitro tank, so we will have it on nitro at the fest.
Oh, cream ales are so good on nitro.
Oh my!
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they are. Hell yes.
I don't work on Sunday. I have to get a ticket.
Well, I don't work either.
Hey.
Yeah, I might need to get that.
Yes, you're on the comp list.
Wait, what?
What?
All three of you. There are three tickets for a Geek in the City. That's what you get for pumping us up like this.
You've been holding out on us?
This is the first time I find out.
That's amazing.
Surprise.
Well, thank you.
For like 11 a.m. or noon?
Well, I'll let you guys in at 11.
Party.
Well, thanks.
That's
because that also gets you the homebrew, which I will tell you, the homebrew this year, which is not on the website, is another epic list of homebrews.
So,
two of those homebrews won gold over the weekend.
Didn't that happen a couple years ago? Because we're friends with Lee, and she had also mentioned, she's like, the homebrew stuff, they're making some fire beers.
Oh, the thing is, like, we already have a plan for, like, at 3 o'clock when we kick everybody out for the reset and then bring everybody back at 4, we know the homebrews are already going to be gone, so we already have a plan to clear out that area and just put in some tables and chairs. Mm-hmm. Because the first thing people go for, they beeline for the homebrew.
Yeah.
And it's so fast.
A couple of years, I volunteered the morning shift, and I was so excited to try homebrews after my shift, and it was like, sorry. I'm like, oh.
Wah, wah.
The only one I got to try that I was really excited for at that time, well, a bunch of them, but like Lee made sure she saved some of her, what did she call it? Welcome Back to Oz, bitch. The green sparkly one.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
she's
yes,
made that the, one twice now. I'm going to see if she wants to make it for the 10, because next year's our 10 year.
Right.
Yeah.
We're already starting to talk about like what we want to do for the 10 year anniversary, because we got to make it big.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I know someone who could maybe try the homebrew side.
We'll see. I might have my hands full.
If you're interested, we should talk.
Well, what's funny is I thought that you were going to volunteer me to, like, do logistical support.
Oh.
Because that's a thing that I do already know
well,
how to
that,
do.
Well, that's just, yeah.
And like doing.
Shannon's like, yes, please.
I mean, we did bring on a fourth this year for that. Because typically it has pretty much been Shannon, Christine, and I, and then like for the weekend of, Jeremy plays a huge role. Like, we couldn't do it without him. But leading up to that, it's primarily just been the three of us, which is kind of nice because hardly, like, there's no arguments. Like, it's easy to, like, make decisions. Mm-hmm. But then we also fuck up sometimes because there isn't another voice in the room.
We don't know what that's like at all.
Nope.
No, three is a really good number for, like, maintaining ownership but still feeling like you're sharing the workload and, like, right, keeping it close-knit. Mm-mm. Yeah, well, before I start volunteering to brew any beers for next year, I gotta go to this one and see what the competition is.
That's right.
Slash get inspiration.
Well, then definitely, if you want to try the Humbers, you gotta show up early.
All right, I'll set my alarm.
I'll be there.
I mean, 11 o'clock. I mean, come on.
It's close enough. I can just walk there, which means I don't care how much I have.
I know, it's gonna be just straight down the road.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's true, yeah.
Easy peasy.
Yeah. All right. What else do you want to tell us about the homebrews? How much can you tell us?
Well, the two that won gold, one was a golden Belgian, and I'm not giving anything away because I posted this on Instagram. One was a Belgian golden, and the other one was the pastrami on rye, which is a rye beer, which I was already, like, dying to try it because it's got caraway and it's got rye, and I was like, oh, this sounds fascinating. And then it won gold.
But no meat flavors. And
that is a new brewer for us. What?
No meat flavors? There's no pastrami flavor?
No, it's
just the, okay.
No meat was harmed in the making of that beer, but it's a Rogan beer.
I mean, we've had meat booze caraway before.
We have. We've
it
had
was a beer. It was cider.
It was a cider.
River Nat's Lamb of God.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah. I'll never fucking forget
that. Fermented with the leg of lamb that was curing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Horrifying.
Yeah, so you tell me,
are you guys going to have him on? What?
Oh, no, I was just finishing the thought. I'm like, yeah, so you say pastrami on rye beer, and I'm like, is there pastrami in that?
No pastrami, although I do love some pastrami. No, I was going to say, are you guys going to have Rev Nat on to talk about his new venture?
We're supposed to,
yeah.
Is he not setting a date? Is that what it is?
I mean, I haven't specifically said, like, hey, what day do you want to do this?
Oh.
So that's on
we
me.
Should ask him that.
Yeah.
But yes, we definitely
You mean
are...
as a bus driver?
Yes,
yeah. That yeah, as a bus venture. Driver.
I think the cat's out of the bag.
I know, I'm joking. Yeah, no,
oh,
he's
the
running.
Cat's out of the bag.
Yeah, he has commercials and he's been on the news now.
Oh my God, he has commercials?
Well, yeah, he has an online, video commercials.
Yeah.
He has a very interesting mind for marketing, so I need to go see these. This is
he's not doing the marketing on his own.
No, it's not. Doesn't feel that way at all.
He maybe has help, allegedly.
Although possibly, he had commented because we were really dying for volunteers on last shift, and he messaged that he was going to volunteer. I haven't checked to see if he's actually signed up, but he said he was going to come for beer.
All right. Well, now now you have an entire audience who can hold him accountable to that one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah.
But other beers, I mean, it runs. There's a rye saison, there's a fruited cider, there's a Mexican style lager with lime and sea salt. There's a maple bar inspired stout.
You always gotta
have
got a
everything
maple
from
bar
like
stout.
A Bock and a Helles, and you know, it's just, and there's two wines too. So there's a wine spritz from Straightaway. Weird, huh?
Who made that one?
I don't know. I think it might have been Kelsey Cable.
It says Kelsey Cable. I'm looking at that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm seeing the one Tree Brew by Gracie Nelson. Sounds amazing.
Yes. I thought maybe you had ventured off into wine all of a sudden.
Beechwood smoked Helles lager with fir tips. Oh.
She changed the name of that beer three times.
Oh,
every
yeah?
time I go into the spreadsheet, well, she would have changed it again. But when she got to Tree Brew, I was like, okay, she landed.
Yeah, that's good. That's
it
good.
Was cute. There's also so I love it. Laura Hargrave from Great Notion. You know, they're known for their crazy, like, muffin beers and maple stuff. And every year she brings a super, super classic style every time. Like she brought the most beautiful ESB a few years ago. And this year she's doing a Texas style Bock.
Chicken fried steak.
Yep.
I know.
That's delightful.
That's great.
She's also partnering with Jessica from Portland Wine Company, and that's the other wine. So they're doing Radler. So instead of juice, it's wine.
Oh. There's some fun names on here. Shorty Got Cake. Strawberry Shortcake Cream Ale. Mm-hmm. The most exciting thing about this fun list of beer names is that they're not mostly IPAs.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever I go hunting for some fresh beers at the store, I'm like, ooh, look at that one. That has a cool label. That's got a cool name. IPA. IPA.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that I'm like in the minority here to be like, that's nasty. But it just makes me sad that like, time I get excited from, you know, the outside, I'm like, I know I'm not going to be excited about the inside.
Not on this show. Like, I can appreciate them, but it's rarely the ones I go to.
No, I know.
There aren't that many.
I've kind of fallen in love with like Brujos Brewing. They're the one of the ones that can just make hoppy as shit beer, but it's still good.
I'm dying to try them.
Oh my god,
they make some good stuff. And he's not wrong. It's still pretty hoppy, but I don't hate it. Yeah. So
I
love a hoppy beer, so I'll be happy.
It's also their aesthetic and vibe, which I just love.
Oh, like, Andre came to do like the last minute like details for his Oregonian interview right before he went to the press night for their opening, and he was telling me about it. I was like, I'm dying to go there.
The lead brewer, I love that, like, before every brew, like, he puts on a robe and, like, it's like this the ritual now before we begin brewing. I'm like, yes.
You gotta manifest that shit.
Because I might do that.
Might?
And whenever I brew, I have my little Black Phillip figure that stays with me the whole time when I brew.
Yeah.
Freaks Nat out.
That maple bar stout, it's the one from Fort George.
Yep.
And so it was at the festival this year. I didn't know it was brewed by a woman.
I didn't either. And I will tell you, it's funny because Fort George and Kalapuya, literally, it was the week we were finishing the program, which was like week before last, was right after FODA. I get an email from both of those breweries in the course of 24 hours. And they're like, is it too late to enter?
And I was like, interesting.
We've been working on this for 3 months. the marketing guy from Fort George acted like he'd never heard of She Brew before, but he was like, hey, so we heard that there was a thing and we've got a woman in the brew house. And I was like, yes, you can enter.
I love you, Fort George, but I don't know. I would have penalized them for that.
I was willing to penalize the marketing guy, but not the brewer.
Yeah.
Right. No, that's fair. Yep. That's fair. It's not her fault. It's never her fault.
It might be a new marketing person. Who knows?
Yep.
Especially if they're new. FODA, I imagine, absorbs their life for like a quarter of the year.
That is a very fair statement. Yeah. Yep.
Fine.
We will punish them next year if they forget again.
My imaginary punishment of this brewer marketing guys is... Next, forget it.
He's your nemesis now.
Just for no reason.
Yeah.
There's a reason.
What about food trucks? So you've already mentioned the food trucks, and I assume there's gonna be other vendors as well, because that's just the kind of space that the Red is. Those will all also be woman-led ventures, but tell us a little bit more about those.
Absolutely. So this year for food, we've got Salvi PDX. And if you were with us when we were back at Castaway, they were at Castaway with us. And if you were at She Brew last year, you'll be happy to hear that Hearth and Soul Pizza is going to be coming back. And of course, both women owned. Great food. And we've got a few vendors too. Forge and Fire, Whitcraft Beer Candles, Mermaid Company, and Sweet Joyness Bakery will all be there to sell their wares. And spread the joy.
Excellent.
I'm excited.
I've heard of a couple of those already, so
yeah.
That's exciting. Norm from Texas is wondering, and I know you don't really want to pick favorites, but if there's any beer, cider, or food from the event that you're particularly looking forward to.
God, that's so hard.
how to answer this question without getting yourself in trouble? I don't know.
Maybe be like, this is a style I really like.
I could tell you about what I'm excited for is after that 16-hour day is that first glass of beer at the end of the shift. That's what I'm looking for.
Mm-hmm. And it's whatever's in her glass is her favorite one.
That's absolutely true.
That first shift beer.
Yes. Hell yeah.
Well, there are a couple. It's interesting. Usually there is like maybe one little theme that happens. This year, I mean, the IPA thing, there are hardly any. I think there's two hazies and maybe three IPAs out of like 50 beers.
Nice.
But there are five rice beers. And I do love a rice lager. And some of them I'm super stoked for. I love a hoppy lager. But Thunder Island, Jen House left Thunder Island. And I can't remember where she ended up, but she's not brewing anymore. So they replaced her with a man. How dare they? But the eight women that work at Thunder Island wanted to come together and brew something. And they did, and they're super excited about it. And the manager there keeps like messaging me about how excited they are and how they're reading books about brewing and they're asking questions. And I swear to God, one of them is going to end up on the brew deck. But they made a freaking Finnish Sahti ale.
I was about to ask you, what is that?
Well, it's something, the only other one I've ever had is from Ale Apothecary. Oh. So it is not a common beer. It is not a simple beer. So I am dying to try it. But yeah, Sahti style ale with Columbia Gorge Juniper. And I, I'm really, really looking forward to that one a lot.
Yeah, no kidding. That's really drops of juniper.
Right.
In her hair. It's so fucking good. you know what? This segues into a question that I'm sure you've answered a million times, probably even on this very platform, but it's something that we should always be talking about is what sort of advice do you have for women who are curious about homebrewing or maybe women homebrewers who might want to think about breaking into the professional side? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this actually came up this morning, and I do, it's not unusual for me to get a couple of inquiries after Sheet Brew. People will just randomly like message us on Facebook or whatnot. It's really sweet. But there's so many different ways to get in. And I talk about a few people specifically, like as an example, Natalie Baldwin, who is the brewmaster at Wayfinder. She started out as a home brewer. She started out as a home brewer, and then she was a server at Burnside, and then she got into the brew house, and then she's just, you know, taken off from there. And Jen Kent, who's been brewing at McMinniman's for at least 15 years, she started out as a server. She was interested in the brew house, just started asking questions, got in there and was screwing around and just, you know, ended up brewing. And she's been brewing there for over a decade since. It's so much of it has to do with curiosity and the fact that there are so many other women out there that are doing it and they're so supportive of each other. So I encourage people to reach out to pros, to reach out to homebrewers. There's also lots of brew clubs. There's the Portland Brewers Collective. There's like five or six, probably more than that in the state. The Oregon Brew Crew is the one that I've been a part of forever. There's plenty of women brewers there and it's all that club is, it's a nonprofit and it's all about beer education. So it's one where it's very inclusive and we try and like really build up women. And then there's school too. I mean, Jess Hardy went to Siebel. Quite a few of our professional brewers went to Siebel. So there's lots of different paths. Others like started out in QA and then ended up in the brew house. So, but I will also say that there are plenty of breweries that would happily have more women on the brew floor. So, I always give Shane Watterson at Level shit because he never has a woman in the brew house. And he's like, well, if you know anyone, please send me their resume because I would love to have a woman in the brew house.
Yes.
I've heard that a similar version of that story many times because I work for someone in the, a woman in the comic book industry. And in fact, she has an entire organization that she's building up specifically around the I'd love to hire more women for my comic books. I just don't know where to find any of them.
You can probably mention it. It's this month, right?
You're right because
it's not a big secret.
Because it's Women's Month? Women's History Month?
I think so.
Women's History yeah. Month is where. Yeah. Women's History. The initiative is called Visible Women, and it's designed to highlight women and anybody who's comfortable under the not cis male umbrella. Anyone else is, you know, to highlight them and help them get work in the comic book industry, whether it's art or writing or even just like editors and the other sort of like behind the scenes, off the page stuff.
I use it a lot.
Yay.
Yeah.
Is that how you got Sarah?
No, that was Shauna Gore who found me, Sarah.
Gotcha.
But yeah. Yeah. I mean, I mainly write about women, and no matter how in touch I try to be, there's still shit I'll never understand. So, you know, having a woman who's a partner be like, that's not how that works. I'm like, oh, okay.
That's the smartest thing you've ever said.
Thanks.
I'm not touching this one. I'm not.
Good nope. plan. Good plan.
That's the smartest thing you've ever said.
It might be.
Look, I finally outnumber you guys right now, so.
Yes.
What are you going to do?
Never.
I'm going to sit and listen and learn is what I'm going to do.
Anyway, smart. All right, I'll stop torturing you. Any final thoughts? Any stuff that we haven't covered that you really want to make sure that you share with the audience before this weekend?
Yeah, absolutely. It's not too late. If you want to be involved with Shebrew as a volunteer, it's definitely not too late. Head on over to shebrew.beer. And again, that's .beer. There's an opportunity to buy tickets there. You can learn more about the fest. You can look at pictures from all the fests we've had in the past. And there's that ever important volunteer tab. Definitely click on that because we could use your help. Yeah, goes to a great cause. You know, be part of something bigger than yourself and check it out.
Yeah.
Cool.
Also beer.
Also beer.
Remember, beer.
There's going to be beer.
There's only two sessions, and when they sell out, there are no more tickets.
I like that you break it up into sessions, by the way. That's kind of nice.
Mm-hmm. We're really, really hoping that this works because we do love the red.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really cool space. So
it is a really cool space.
If you can make it work. One last listener question. And again, this one might be hard to answer because you never really want to like choose someone over everyone else. But Wild Seed Girl wants to know, what's been your favorite beer over the years?
Oh, God. That's impossible.
I don't know. I
can't even. And it changes, too. Like, other beers come out and then it's, yeah.
What's one that you remember often?
In my glass. What?
What's one that you remember often?
Oh.
It's a hard question.
Such a hard question.
And the hard part about it is, you know, especially if we're talking about beers at the fest, it's like, Jen and I aren't drinking beers at the fest. You know, we're busting our butt. And then at the end of the day, you know, we are just run down, tired. And whatever tap still has CO2 and beer in the keg is the one we crack.
Amen. So 100%,
we might get a couple of tiny little tastes throughout the day, but we are just go all day long. So we hardly taste anything, which is a huge bummer because I would want to drink all of these beers, but
Denise and I'll help you with that. And then we'll report. Okay.
With the beer, not the work.
No. Right. No. That is the work. It's so much work. But that's funny. It's like working in comics. They're like, what do you read? I'm like, I don't read nothing. I ain't got time to read these funny
the
books.
The words I just wrote.
Yeah.
Yep.
What's good?
All the things.
Well, never mind. Because you can't answer. If you can't answer what was your favorite, I was going to be like, well, now I'm going to say it. Is there ever a beer where you're like, no. Oh. Like, I'm not saying to name stuff, but there have been times where you're like, how did this get past Q&A? How did this get past tasters?
I can't say that that's actually ever happened at Shebrew. I've had that happen at other festivals where it's like, whoa, what happened there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that happened to us at Dark Arts. There was the stout that doesn't narrow it down. Denise and I both tried it and we're like, this is if someone just put old coffee and Nestle's Quick in some water and went, here, beer.
Ew.
It was.
You know what's funny is I remember the sensation of like, how did this get made?
Yeah.
And approved.
We had it pretty early, right?
But not what it tasted like or what it was called or anything.
Yeah. It was pretty early on the day and we were both like, well, this doesn't bode well for the rest of the event.
Maybe that's what went wrong.
What?
Well, and it's hard too for me at FODA, like if I've had like, if I'm like several hours in and then I have a really light beer because they're all so freaking heavy, then I'm like, oh, this is terrible.
Yeah.
Did you go this year? Probably good,
but yeah. What?
Did you go this year? I don't remember seeing you.
I saw you for a hot second, but like in passing.
Mm-hmm. I think I glanced at you and I think I went.
We said hello, but Denise, I only saw you like,
It was a very, I did a lot of moving around. I don't know. There was one beer that I was like, look, other years there's been stuff that sounded amazing and I ended up missing out. So this is my number one beer choice. I'm going there first. So I like beelined for that thing and I was so underwhelmed.
You looked so sad.
I was super sad.
Because you had a spreadsheet. You would plan for weeks like this is the one.
Because, you know, I just show up and I want to have fun and drink tasty beers. And then partway through, I'm like, oh, that sounds delicious. Where do I find that in your little booklet? And by that time, it's gone. I'm like, no, I don't want to miss out because stuff is so delicious. And the one time that I had my shit together, it backfired on me.
Which is why you want to get your Shebrew tickets now. So you don't mess up.
Yes. Yeah. And that's going to be this Saturday, the 10th.
Sunday.
I believe you.
Saturday is someone's birthday.
Yes, it is. I really remember the 10th being Saturday.
That's okay.
No, but you're right, because her birthday is on the 9th. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Sunday, the 10th, The Red in Southeast Portland. Go to shebrew.beer to get your tickets.
Or volunteer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Definitely. I highly recommend volunteering at least once. It's fun.
It's fun.
Everyone should volunteer for an event at least once in their life.
That's right.
And if you do volunteer, after your shift, you get complimentary access to the festival. Mm-hmm. And if you volunteer on the last shift, then you should bring your growler with you because you can fill as many growlers as you like and take them home for free.
I don't know that any beer festival has told me that as a volunteer shift worker.
Well, and this, honestly, this one, we're so desperate for last shift that there will also be at a later date, there will be an invitation to an exclusive party at a private residence.
It just so happens to have a walk-in beer cooler and several taps.
I feel like we've maybe done a show from there before.
Quite possibly.
I believe I've seen this mythical place. Maybe. And it is
a magical place, by the way.
It is absolutely magical and 1,000% worth whatever might happen to you on that shift.
Yeah. All it needs is a... foreboding.
I know. To be clear, probably nothing bad will happen to you. It's just a volunteer shift at a beer festival.
Uh-huh. Right? That's We've the done worst tons bit of backpedaling I have ever heard.
I know. I really wanted to upsell this private party at the home tap room. But look, I'm not in marketing either, so don't look at me.
Nothing would ever happen volunteering the last shift.
What could possibly go wrong?
We have a 98% survival rate.
Well, you should have been on top of this one.
Well, that seems like a good spot.
Yep.
Jen, Shannon, thank you so much for being on the show. It's a lot of fun, as always.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
And may Sunday go smooth and quick for you.
We'll see you there.
Yes.
Yes, you will.
Yes, you will.
Absolutely.
Yay. Very cool.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. We'll see you Sunday.
Yep. All right. Bye,
ladies.
Bye.
If you survive the last shift.
Look, I lost a lot of sleep this morning, and
why'd you lose sleep?
I woke up in like not the middle of the night, but like at like 6 a.m, and I didn't get back.
Hey, that's just morning.
Not for me.
Oh, because you went to bed at like 1 again.
So what if I did? The point is, it was not time to get up. I didn't go back to sleep for over an hour, and it made for a hard rest of the night slash morning.
Wait, you were able to go back to sleep at like 7?
Yes.
Oh, I forgot. You don't start your day until later.
No. Yeah. And I specifically gave myself a short commute, and I get ready quickly. It's like, I have a routine.
I know.
Like, you're judging me for not waking up.
I'm not judging you. I'm jealous.
He's judging.
And my body is waking up earlier now, and I don't know why. I think it's because I'm transitioning into an old person.
Yep.
I don't need that. I don't sleep enough as it is.
Right. And I am not an old of that category, and I am a nighttime person. So and because I don't have to get up super early for I spent years showing up for work at like 3:30, 4:30 in the morning every day. By the way, I did my time. I have a nice late.
When did you? Oh, that was Army.
Yes, Army.
I won this in something called Hero Squad.
The point is, like, I finally have a job that is like still technically a day job, but allows me to, you know, sleep in a little bit later, you know, and thus I don't have to go to bed quite so early. Yeah, I probably did not go to sleep until 1 o'clock.
Okay.
And I woke up at 6. Okay. And yes, I did go back to sleep at like 7 something, but that's bad because I needed to be awake at 8 because I have to go to work early on Tuesdays so that I can come do this.
If it helps, I woke up at 5:30 this morning and went back to bed because I didn't want to wake up until 6:30. So, you're not the only one that does this.
But yes,
I've been waking up at 5:30 and being like, come on, man, just give me one more hour.
Mm-hmm.
I doom scroll for about 10 minutes and hope that my brain goes, okay, back to bed. Half the time it does.
Usually I can go back to sleep pretty quickly, and thus I avoid my phone, but it seemed like it wasn't going to happen at all, to the point where I got on my phone, but then luckily, like, I got that second wave of sleepiness. But then I overslept, so fuck me.
Everything is fucking, this is why you can't survive the second shift.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Right, that's exactly
yep.
it.
Yep. No, what I'm saying is, like, you guys are lucky I was able to make complete sentences at all during that interview.
I mean, the day I had, I'm amazed I even got here.
You're not wrong.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, mm-hmm. yep. It's fair.
Yeah. I think that's good.
I think that's been that has definitely been a show.
Next week, I'm not sure. I will be out of town again because of my day job.
Right. Well, we can talk about that later.
Yeah, that's true. Yes.
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 All of this is true.
This is all true. Well, with that, I am Aron Duran.
I am Bea Narita.
And I am Cable Hashitani.
Thank you again, and we will talk to everybody soon.
And we will see all of you, most of you, the local you, on Sunday.
The royal you, Sunday.
The Portland you.
The survivors of second shift, we will see you. Bye.
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 Bye-bye. Hi. We're all being goofy. Yes, we are. We're all being goofy.
What the fuck episode is this?
Fuck if I know, man.
Issue WTF. 2024.
726. Wait, are we live?
I don't think so.
We are now streaming live.
Now we are.
Now we are. What do I do?